589. The equilibrium between heaven and hell. For anything to have existence, there must be an equilibrium of all things. Without equilibrium is no action and reaction, for equilibrium is between two forces, one acting and the other reacting, and the state of rest resulting from like action and reaction is called equilibrium. In the natural world, there is an equilibrium in all things and in each thing. It exists in a general way even in the atmosphere, wherein the lower parts react and resist in proportion as the higher parts act and press down. Again, in the natural world there is an equilibrium between heat and cold, between light and shade, and between dryness and moisture, the middle condition being the equilibrium. There is also an equilibrium in all the subjects of the three kingdoms of nature, the mineral, the vegetable, and the animal, for without equilibrium in them nothing can come forth and have permanent existence. Everywhere there is a sort of effort acting on the one side and reacting on the other. All existence or all effect is produced in equilibrium, that is, by one force acting and another suffering itself to be acted upon. Or when one force by acting flows in, the other receives and harmoniously submits. In the natural world that which acts and reacts is called force, and also endeavor, but in the spiritual world that which acts and reacts is called life and will. Life in that world is living force, and will is living effort, and the equilibrium itself is called freedom. Thus spiritual equilibrium or freedom has its outcome and permanence in the balance between good acting on the one side and evil reacting on the other side, or between evil acting on the one side and good reacting on the other side. With the good, the equilibrium is between good acting and evil reacting. But with the evil, the equilibrium is between evil acting and good reacting. Spiritual equilibrium is between good and evil, because the whole life of man has reference to good and to evil, and the will is the receptacle. There is also an equilibrium between truth and falsity, but this depends on the equilibrium between good and evil. The equilibrium between truth and falsity is like that between light and shade, in that light and shade affect the objects of the vegetable kingdom only so far as heat and cold are in them. That light and shade themselves have no effect, but only the heat that acts through them, is evident from the fact that light and shade are the same in winter time and in spring time. This comparison of truth and falsity with light and shade is from correspondence. For truth corresponds to light, falsity to shade, and heat to the good of love. In fact, spiritual light is truth, spiritual shade is falsity, and spiritual heat is good of love. 590. There is a perpetual equilibrium between heaven and hell. From hell there continually breathes forth and ascends an endeavor to do evil, and from heaven there continually breathes forth and descends an endeavor to do good. In this equilibrium is the world of spirits, which world is intermediate between heaven and hell. The world of spirits is in this equilibrium because every man after death enters first the world of spirits, and is kept there in a state like that which he was in while in the world. And this would be impossible if there were not a perfect equilibrium there. For by means of this the character of everyone is explored, since they then remain in the same freedom as they had in the world. Spiritual equilibrium is freedom in man and spirit. What each one's freedom is, the angels recognize by a communication of affections and thoughts therefrom, and it becomes visible to the sight of angelic spirits by the ways in which the spirits go. Good spirits there travel in the ways that go towards heaven, but evil spirits in the ways that go towards hell. Ways actually appear in that world, and that is the reason why ways in the word signify the truths that lead to good, or in the opposite sense the falsities that lead to evil, and for the same reason going, walking, and journeying in the word signify progressions of life. Such ways I have often been permitted to see, also spirits going and walking in them freely, in accord with their affections and thoughts. In the word to journey, as well as to go, signifies progression of life. To go with the Lord means to receive spiritual life, and to live with Him. To walk means to live. 591. Evil continually breathes forth and ascends out of hell, and good continually breathes forth and descends out of heaven, because everyone is encompassed by a spiritual sphere, and that sphere flows forth and pours out from the life of the affections and the thoughts therefrom. And as such a sphere flows forth from every individual, it flows forth also from every heavenly society and from every infernal society, consequently from altogether, that is, from the entire heaven and from the entire hell. Good flows forth from heaven because all there are in good, and evil flows forth from hell because all there are in evil. The good that is from heaven is all from the Lord, for the angels in the heavens are all withheld from what is their own, and are kept in what is the Lord's own, which is good itself. But the spirits in the hells are all in what is their own, and everyone's own is nothing but evil. And because it is nothing but evil, it is hell. Evidently, then, the equilibrium in which angels are kept in the heavens and spirits in the hells is not like the equilibrium in the world of spirits. The equilibrium of angels in the heavens exists in the degree in which they have been willing to be in good, or in the degree in which they have lived in good in the world, and thus also in the degree in which they have held evil in aversion. But the equilibrium of spirits in hell exists in the degree in which they have been willing to be in evil, or have lived in evil in the world, and thus in heart and spirit have been opposed to good. A spiritual sphere, which is a sphere of life, flows forth and pours forth from every man, spirit, an angel, and encompasses him. It flows forth from the life of their affections and thoughts. The quality of spirits is recognized at a distance from their spheres. Spheres from the evil are the opposites of spheres from the good. Such spheres extend far into angelic societies in accordance with the quality and quantity of good, and into infernal societies in accordance with the quality and quantity of evil. Man's self is nothing but evil. Man's self is hell in him. 592. Unless the Lord ruled both the heavens and the hells, there would be no equilibrium. And if there were no equilibrium, there would be no heaven or hell. For all things and each thing in the universe, that is, both in the natural world and in the spiritual world, endure by means of equilibrium. Every rational man can see that this is true. If there were a preponderance on one part and no resistance on the other, would not both perish? So would it be in the spiritual world if good did not react against evil and continually restrain its uprising. And unless this were done by the divine itself, both heaven and hell would perish, and with them the whole human race. It is said, unless the divine itself did this, because the self of everyone, whether angel, spirit, or man, is nothing but evil. Consequently, neither angels nor spirits are able in the least to resist the evils continually exhaling from the hells, since from self they all tend towards hell. It is evident, then, that unless the Lord alone ruled both the heavens and the hells, no one could ever be saved. Moreover, all the hells act as one, for evils in the hells are connected as goods are in the heavens, and the divine alone, which goes forth solely from the Lord, is able to resist all the hells, which are innumerable, and which act together against heaven and against all who are in heaven. 593. The equilibrium between the heavens and the hells is diminished or increased in accordance with the number of those who enter heaven and who enter hell, and this amounts to several thousands daily. The Lord alone, and no angel, can know and perceive this, and regulate and equalize it with precision, for the divine that goes forth from the Lord is omnipresent, and sees everywhere whether there is any wavering, while an angel sees only what is near himself, and has no perception in himself of what is taking place even in his own society. 594. How all things are so arranged in the heavens and in the hells that each and all of those who are there may be in their equilibrium, can in some measure be seen from what has been said and shown above respecting the heavens and the hells, namely, that all the societies of heaven are distinctly arranged in accordance with goods and their kinds and varieties, and all the societies of hell in accordance with evils and their kinds and varieties, and that beneath each society of heaven there is a society of hell corresponding to it from opposition, and from this opposing correspondence equilibrium results. And in consequence of this, the Lord unceasingly provides that no infernal society beneath a heavenly society shall gain any preponderance, and as soon as it begins to do so, it is restrained by various means, and is reduced to an exact measure of equilibrium. These means are many, only a few of which I will mention. Some of these means have reference to the stronger presence of the Lord, some to the closer communication and conjunction of one or more societies with others, some to the casting out of superabundant infernal spirits into deserts, some to the transference of certain spirits from one hell to another, some to the reducing of those in the hells to order, and this also is effected in various ways. Some to the screening of certain hells under denser and thicker coverings, also letting them down to greater depths, besides other means, and still others that are employed in the heavens above the hells. All this has been said that it may in some measure be perceived that the Lord alone provides that there shall be an equilibrium everywhere between good and evil, thus between heaven and hell, for on such equilibrium the safety of all in the heavens and of all on the earth rests. 595. It should be known that the hells are continually assaulting heaven and endeavoring to destroy it, and that the Lord continually protects the heavens by withholding those who are in it from the evils derived from their self, and by holding them in the good that is from himself. I have often been permitted to perceive the sphere that flows forth from the hells, which was wholly a sphere of effort to destroy the divine of the Lord, and thus heaven. The ebullitions of some hells have also at times been perceived, which were efforts to break forth and to destroy. But on the other hand, the heavens never assault the hells, for the divine sphere that goes forth from the Lord is a perpetual effort to save all, and as those who are in the hells cannot be saved, so as far as possible outrages in the hells are subdued and cruelties are restrained to prevent their breaking out beyond measure one against another. This also is effected by innumerable ways in which the divine power is exercised. 596. There are two kingdoms into which the heavens are divided, the celestial kingdom and the spiritual kingdom. In like manner, the hells are divided into two kingdoms, one of which is opposite to the celestial kingdom, and the other opposite to the spiritual kingdom. That which is opposite to the celestial kingdom is in the western quarter, and those who are in it are called genii, and that which is opposite to the spiritual kingdom is in the northern and southern quarters, and those which are in it are called spirits. All who are in the celestial kingdom are in love to the Lord, and all who are in the hells opposite to that kingdom are in the love of self, while all who are in the spiritual kingdom are in love towards the neighbor, and all who are in the hells opposite to that kingdom are in love of the world. Evidently, then, love to the Lord and the love of self are opposites, and in like manner love towards the neighbor and love of the world are opposites. The Lord continually provides that there shall be no outflowing from the hells that are opposite the Lord's celestial kingdom towards those who are in the spiritual kingdom. For if this were done, the spiritual kingdom would perish. These are the two general equilibriums that are unceasingly maintained by the Lord. 597. By means of the equilibrium between heaven and hell, man is in freedom. The equilibrium between heaven and hell has now been described, and it has been shown that it is an equilibrium between the good that is from heaven and the evil that is from hell, thus that it is a spiritual equilibrium, which in its essence is freedom. A spiritual equilibrium in its essence is freedom because it is an equilibrium between good and evil, and between truth and falsity, and these are spiritual. Therefore, to be able to will either what is good or what is evil, and to think either what is true or what is false, and to choose one in preference to the other, is the freedom which is here treated of. This freedom is given to every man by the Lord, and is never taken away. In fact, by virtue of its origin it is not man's but the Lord's, since it is from the Lord. Nevertheless, it is given to man with his life as if it were his, and this is done that man may have the ability to be reformed and saved, for without freedom there can be no reformation or salvation. With any rational intuition anyone can see that it is a part of man's freedom to be able to think wrongly or rightly, sincerely or insincerely, justly or unjustly, also that he is free to speak and act rightly, honestly, and justly, but not to speak and act wrongly, insincerely, and unjustly, because of the spiritual, moral, and civil laws whereby his external is held in restraint. Evidently, then, it is man's spirit, which thinks and wills, that is in freedom, and not his external which speaks and acts, except in agreement with the above-mentioned laws. 598. Man cannot be reformed unless he has freedom, for the reason that he is born into evils of every kind, and these must be removed in order that he may be saved, and they cannot be removed unless he sees them in himself and acknowledges them, and afterwards ceases to will them, and finally holds them in aversion. Not until then are they removed, and this cannot be done unless man is in good as well as in evil, since it is from good that he is able to see evils, while from evil he cannot see good. The spiritual goods that man is capable of thinking he learns from childhood by reading the Word and from preaching, and he learns moral and civil good from his life in the world. This is the first reason why man ought to be in freedom. Another reason is that nothing is appropriated to man except what is done from an affection of his love. Other things may gain entrance, but no farther than the thought, not reaching the will. And whatever does not gain entrance into the will of man does not become his. For thought derives what pertains to it from memory, while the will derives what pertains to it from the life itself. Only what is from the will, or what is the same, from the affection of love, can be called free. For whatever a man wills or loves that he does freely, consequently man's freedom and the affection of his love or of his will are a one. It is for this reason that man has freedom, in order that he may be affected by truth and good or may love them, and that they may thus become as if they were his own in a word. Whatever does not enter into man's freedom has no permanence, because it does not belong to his love or will. And what does not belong to man's love or will does not belong to his spirit, for the very being of the spirit of man is love or will. It is said love or will, since a man wills what he loves. This, then, is why man can be reformed only in freedom. But more on the subject of man's freedom may be seen in the Arcana Celestia in the passages referred to below. 599. In order that man may be in freedom, to the end that he may be reformed, he is conjoined in respect to his spirit both with heaven and with hell. For with every man there are spirits from hell and angels from heaven. It is by means of hell that man is in his own evil, while it is by means of angels from heaven that man is in good from the Lord. Thus is he in spiritual equilibrium, that is, in freedom. That angels from heaven and spirits from hell are joined to every man may be seen in the chapter on the conjunction of heaven with the human race. 600. It must be understood that the conjunction of man with heaven and with hell is not a direct conjunction with them, but a mediate conjunction by means of spirits who are in the world of spirits. These spirits, and none from hell itself or from heaven itself, are with man. By means of evil spirits in the world of spirits man is conjoined with hell, and by means of good spirits there he is conjoined with heaven. Because of this the world of spirits is intermediate between heaven and hell, and in that world is equilibrium itself. From all this the source of man's freedom is evident. 601. Something more must be said about the spirits that are joined with man. An entire society can have communication with another society, or with an individual wherever he is, by means of a spirit sent forth from the society, this spirit is called the subject of the many. The same is true of man's conjunction with societies in heaven, and with societies in hell, by means of spirits from the world of spirits that are joined with man. 602. Finally, something must be said respecting man's intuition in regard to his life after death, which is derived from the influx of heaven into man. There are some of the simple common people who had lived in the world in the good of faith who were brought back into a state like that in which they had been in the world, which can be done with anyone when the Lord grants it, and it was then shown what opinion they had held about the state of man after death. They said that some intelligent persons had asked them in the world what they thought about their soul after the life on earth, and they replied that they did not know what the soul is. They were then asked what they believed about their state after death, and they said that they believed that they would live as spirits. Again, they were asked what belief they had respecting a spirit, and they said that he is a man. They were asked how they knew this, and they said that they knew it because it is so. Those intelligent men were surprised that the simple had such a faith, which they themselves did not have. This is a proof that in every man who is in conjunction with heaven there is an intuition respecting his life after death. This intuition is from no other source than an influx out of heaven. That is, through heaven from the Lord by means of spirits from the world of spirits who are joined with man. This intuition those have who have not extinguished their freedom of thinking by notions previously adopted and confirmed by various arguments respecting the soul of man, which is held to be either pure thought, or some vital principle the seed of which is sought for in the body. And yet the soul is nothing but the life of man, while the spirit is the man himself. And the earthly body which he carries about with him in the world is merely an agent whereby the spirit, which is the man himself, is enabled to act fitly in the natural world. 603. What has been said in this work about heaven, the world of spirits, and hell, will be obscure to those who have no interest in learning about spiritual truths, but will be clear to those who have such an interest, and especially to those who have an affection for truth for the sake of truth, that is, who love truth because it is truth. For whatever is then loved enters with light into the mind's thought, especially truth that is loved, because all truth is in light. Extracts from the Arcana Celestia respecting the freedom of man, influx, and the spirits through whom communications are effected. Freedom. All freedom pertains to love or affection, since whatever a man loves he does freely. Since freedom pertains to love, it is the life of everyone. Nothing appears to be man's own except what is from freedom. There is heavenly freedom and infernal freedom. Heavenly freedom pertains to heavenly love, or the love of good and truth. And as the love of good and truth is from the Lord, freedom itself consists in being led by the Lord. Man is led into heavenly freedom by the Lord through regeneration. Man must have freedom in order to be regenerated. In no other way can the love of good and truth be implanted in man, and appropriated by him seemingly as his own. Nothing is conjoined to man in a state of compulsion. If man could be reformed by compulsion, all would be saved. In reformation, compulsion is harmful. All worship from freedom is worship, but worship from compulsion is not worship. Repentance must be effected in a free state, and repentance effected in a state of compulsion is of no avail. States of compulsion, what they are. It is granted to man to act from the freedom of reason, to the end that good may be provided for him. And this is why man has the freedom to think and will even what is evil, and to do it so far as the laws do not forbid. Man is kept by the Lord between heaven and hell, and thus in equilibrium, that he may be in freedom for the sake of reformation. What is implanted in freedom endures, but not what is implanted under compulsion. For this reason, no one is ever deprived of his freedom. The Lord compels no one. Compelling oneself is from freedom, but not being compelled. A man ought to compel himself to resist evil, also to do good as if from himself, and yet to acknowledge that it is from the Lord. Man has a stronger freedom in the temptation combats in which he conquers, since he then compels himself more interiorly to resist, although it appears otherwise. Infernal freedom consists in being led by the loves of self and of the world and their lusts. Those who are in hell know no other freedom. Heavenly freedom is as far removed from infernal freedom as heaven is from hell. Infernal freedom, which consists in being led by the loves of self and of the world, is not freedom but servitude, for servitude is in being led by hell. Influx, all things that man thinks and wills flow into him from experience. Man's capacity to give attention to subjects, to think, and to draw conclusions analytically, is from influx. Man could not live a single moment if influx from the spiritual world were taken away from him. From experience, the life that flows in from the Lord varies in accordance with the state of man and in accordance with reception. With those who are evil, the good that flows in from the Lord is changed into evil, and the truth into falsity, from experience. The good and truth that continually flow in from the Lord are received just to the extent that they are not hindered by evil and falsity. All good flows in from the Lord, and all evil from hell. At the present day, man believes that all things are in himself and are from himself, when in fact they flow in, and this he might know from the doctrine of the Church, which teaches that all good is from God, and all evil from the devil. But if man's belief were in accord with this doctrine, he would not appropriate evil to himself, nor would he make good to be his own. How happy man's state would be if he believed that all good flows in from the Lord and all evil from hell. Those who deny heaven or who know nothing about it do not know that there is any influx from heaven. What influx is, illustrated by comparisons. Everything of life flows in from the first fountain of life, because that is the source of it, and it continually flows, and thus everything of life is from the Lord. Influx is spiritual and not physical, that is, influx is from the spiritual world into the natural, and not from the natural into the spiritual. Influx is through the internal man into the external, or through the spirit into the body, and not the reverse, because the spirit of man is in the spiritual world, and his body in the natural. The internal man is in the spiritual world and the external in the natural world. There is an appearance that there is an influx from the externals of man into internals, but this is a fallacy. With man there is influx into things rational, and through these into knowledges, and not the reverse. What the order of influx is, there is direct influx from the Lord, and likewise mediate influx through the spiritual world or heaven. The Lord's influx is into the good in man, and through good into truth, and not the reverse. Good gives the capacity to receive influx from the Lord, but truth without good does not. Nothing that flows into the thought is harmful, but only what flows into the will, since this is what is appropriated to man. There is a general influx. This is a continual effort to act in accordance with order. This influx is into the lives of animals, also into the subjects of the vegetable kingdom. It is in accord with this general influx that thought falls into speech with man, and will into acts and movements. Subject spirits. Spirits sent forth from societies of spirits to other societies and to other spirits are called subjects. Communications in the other life are effected by means of such emissary spirits. A spirit sent forth to serve as a subject does not think from himself, but thinks from those by whom he is sent forth. Many particulars relating to such spirits.